Welcome to the I Wonder Doctor podcast with David Rosensweet, MD. I Wonder Doctor integrates traditional and complementary medicine with the goal of helping you to get well, to get healthy. It is designed to be done in real life, in real time, by real people, and seeks to inspire as many aha moments as possible. Welcome to another episode of I Wonder, Doctor.
I'd like to talk about menopause and ask a basic question. Should a woman seek hormonal treatment for it?
You and I, we've sat in these chairs a lot of times and gone over a lot of issues. My guess is of all the ones we've ever gone over, there is probably as much concern of getting treatment as there is of not getting treatment, maybe even more for some reason in America.
There is, and there's reasons for that, and I'm going to address those reasons in future videos.
Yeah.
But let me give you an overview of this subject. For one thing, a woman's hormones peak in her early 20s, as do men's.
Yeah.
And then for both men and women, those hormones decline over time. And these hormones are very important for health.
Yeah.
For example, estrogen is so important for the health of bones, arteries, cognitive function, and the same could be said about progesterone and the androgens, testosterone, for example, in women.
So if a woman doesn't have enough estrogen, as an example, what, she's not going to be capable of keeping bones strong?
Yeah, a lot of women. And this is a significant risk to her health.
Yeah.
Now, there's a few milestones in the story of this decline. I mean, the most common one that people think of is when the sex hormones drop so low as the woman's periods cease, somewhere in the early 40s to mid-50s. Yet that's not the only milestone. Prior to that, as early as the early 30s, a woman could cease producing sufficient progesterone to balance the estrogen. That can lead to, for example, overstimulation of breast glandular tissue, leading to breast density, which is a risk factor.
So that happens because a woman continues to produce a lot of estrogen, but she can't produce enough progesterone, and that imbalance is bad.
That imbalance can lead to a risk. And, you know, it's an ideal time for young women to be alert, as we're going to cover in future videos, to that decline that can take place and that imbalance that takes place. And then let's look at the other end of the spectrum. The decline of hormones doesn't stop with the cessation of periods. It goes on and on into the elderly women, and that decline is highly consequential to them. They can lose bone strength, they can lose muscle strength, they can wind up in depends and walkers and wheelchairs.
Yeah.
These are all very important subjects to elderly women, I can tell you that. So, from my perspective, having dealt with women in menopause for the 22 and a half of the 45 years I've been practicing medicine, I am a very significant proponent of treatment with hormones. Now, it's crucial that it be done elegantly, safely, and to reduce risk as close to zero as possible. But so much is known at this point that this can be done.
Maybe it's something like this. Like if I've got an appendix that's in trouble, I have to go get an appendectomy. There are some risks to getting it, but the risks of not getting it, well, those are a certainty.
Yes, that would be a way to look at it. And this is what I teach to doctors. There may be risks associated with treatment with hormones.
Yeah.
There's a near certainty of difficulty if you don't.
Great. Well, thanks.
I'd like to address the elephant in the room in menopause medicine, and that is the fear that taking hormones can lead to increased risk of breast cancer and heart disease.
My guess is there probably isn't a woman watching this, probably not even one, who to some degree isn't afraid that this is true. They may really want to get treated for menopause, but they're afraid that if they do, it will increase their risk of getting cancer.
Let me address that fear.
Yeah.
I mean, women have been treated with hormones, certainly in the last 75 years.
Yeah.
With horse urine derived hormones, as a matter of fact. And this pharmaceutical medication, Premarin, was one of the most profitable drugs for many, many years until the year 2002.
Yeah.
As a result of a study that the pharmaceutical manufacturers had initiated. And there was two arms to this study. Women who took Premarin alone.
Yeah.
The estrogens only. And women who took Prempro, which is a combination of Premarin and an artificial progestin called Provera. Well, that arm of that study, Prempro takers, had a small but statistically significant increase in breast cancer and heart disease. And that arm of the study was stopped in 2002 to the utter alarm of people in the country.
Yeah.
The Premarin arm had less of an incidence of breast cancer, 0.79, than women who were untreated.
Wow.
That was lost because the fear swept through the medical community and the women community, and that fear persists to this day.
So you're saying that the women who were treated with PremPro, their risks of cancer did go up.
Yes.
But the women who were treated only with Premarin, their risks went down. They had less risk of getting cancer than if they hadn't been treated at all.
Exactly.
Wow.
And Premarin was in a very initial phase of, from my perspective, of treating women with hormones.
Yeah.
But since that time, there's been enormous improvements where now the hormones that a woman can be treated with are called bioidentical. That means the exact same molecule that a woman's being treated with is the same as what was produced by her own ovary.
Right.
Of both the estrogens and progesterone and testosterone and DHEA. And there's been a tremendous explosion in the knowledge base on how to treat women properly to reduce risk as close to zero as we can get it.
This is really amazing in a way. I'm a man who's got a wife who's entering this phase. And before you and I started speaking about this, I shared this fear. I don't think I wanted my wife to get treated because the last thing I wanted was for her to get breast cancer. And even after we've said this, as much as we've said it, it's still sinking in slowly that if she gets treated correctly for hormone replacement, her risk of cancer goes down. Not only all those other benefits, but her risk of cancer goes down. That's truly astounding to me.
Exactly. That's what's now known. Now, we're at risk for cancer, but treatment of women in menopause,
yeah,
with bioidentical hormones, doing it properly, wind up with less risk for breast cancer and heart disease and dementia than women who receive no treatment at all.
Got it. Thanks.
You're welcome. I'd like to talk about when a woman should start treatment with hormones.
I think the answer to this one is kind of obvious, right? It's menopause. That's when women need treatment.
And that's what you would suspect, but it turns out to be different than that.
Yeah.
Because a woman, even in her early 30s, can start experiencing a progesterone decline that even is going faster than the estrogen decline. And that leads to an imbalance. And progesterone is so needed to balance the stimulatory effects of estrogen. Thus, when a woman gets that decline, she starts getting overstimulation by estrogen, which can lead to PMS, can lead to breast tenderness, breast fullness, even breast density, which is a risk factor, and poor sleep and diminished mood. So ideally, a woman in her early 30s picks up on this imbalance because she can feel it, and that's when treatment begins.
So a woman is producing hormones, lots of them, and as they start to decline, as they can in their, what, in their late 20s, they don't necessarily decline equally. And
that
matters.
That's
right. And if a woman is starting to produce less progesterone than she is estrogen, that imbalance creates problems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it can even get more dramatic than that because there are a significant number of women who cease ovulating long before they cease menstruating. They're still having periods, but they're not producing eggs.
Huh.
That can be up to 10 to 15 years earlier.
Yeah.
And what happens then is progesterone production almost declines to zero. And there the imbalance can get even greater. And to me, that's even a better reason to do great work by treatment with bioidentical progesterone. I'd like to talk about the bottom line in menopause medicine, and that is finding the right doctor.
This is either a really easy question, right? A woman should go to her own doctor. Or you're asking this question, which makes me think maybe there's someone else she needs to look for. And I've got to say, at least for myself, this can be really daunting. I mean, even just finding the right auto mechanic can drive me nuts because I don't know what to look for, what to ask. And when it comes to something as important as a doctor, holy smokes.
Yes, and that's why we're bringing this up.
Yeah.
And there's two criteria for me in treating women in menopause. One is someone has gone beyond our original training in medical school and to the extensive knowledge base and training that is available in the whole world of menopause and treating women. When I lecture to doctors on menopause,
yeah,
and doctors come up to me on breaks and ask me questions, it's rather astounding to me how little so many of them know.
Right.
And that's not to fault them. It's just, this is a big field. I could be an emergency room doctor, and you could come to me. You don't want to encounter me in an emergency room. You want to meet up with a doctor who's had extensive training and experience in emergency room medicine. The field has burgeoned so much over the last 30 years.
Right.
Same is true of menopause. As far as right hormones go, they're bioidentical. And there's a whole knowledge base on how to test for them, how to balance them, how to take the right dosages. It's extensive. So to accomplish finding the right doctor, well, on our information page associated with this video, on our website, we list a series of questions that you could ask to any office manager over the phone. And then, as another resource, there are significant training organizations in the United States. And we list three of them. One of them is our own, where we train doctors. And you plug in your zip code, and you can find a doctor in your area who's received the training. As we continue with menopause, I'd like to discuss what makes some of these programs as safe and as effective, and shall I say, most elegant as possible.
Now, I would think that the main job that a person had was to pick the right doctor, right?
Yes, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
And yet, at this time in the history of treating women in menopause, I think it's still very important for a woman to know, well, what are the things that really matter, so that she doesn't get surprised in a doctor's visit about these not being conformed to.
Yeah.
So this, to me, begins with the right hormones. And I've already hinted at this, but I want to elaborate on it. Women are resilient for the most part, and almost any hormones will work that are on the market, except Prempro. Don't use Prempro. And, you know, knowing what we know nowadays, I would never choose Premarin when these bioidenticals, these identical molecules that are present in the woman's body, are widely available through a pharmacist in your town.
As you said, Premarin comes from a horse, and it's good, but it's not identical to what a woman would produce in her own body.
That's correct. I mean, 50% of the estrogens in Premarin have never been seen by a human female.
Yeah.
And it's oral estrogen. And this is to be avoided because we want to make the programs absolutely as safe as possible.
Yeah.
And taking estrogen orally is not the safest way to do it for a lot of reasons that we explain in great technical detail when we train doctors, and also it's in my book.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is, in order to get the best bioidenticals, you need, for example, in the world of estrogen, to choose something called Biest. And that means you're going to have to receive this from a compounding pharmacy. These are the kind of pharmacists that are in your town that not only dispense traditional pharmaceutical manufactured medications, they also make up some of their own medications when prescribed to do so.
Yeah.
So they take pure estradiol, for example, and pure estriol, and put it up in a vehicle to be applied to the skin. The vehicle is what carries it, a gel or a cream, for example. Where are they acquiring this pure estradiol and pure estriol? From the pharmaceutical manufacturers, who long ago realized that they could extract these hormones that are present in plants, and they do so.
Yeah.
So they're producing very pure stuff.
Yeah.
And the compounders are putting it up in the right mixes. Now, the pharmaceutical manufacturers have come into this world of bioidenticals, but they're at the very early stages. And for example, when they're prescribing estrogen, it's usually estradiol in a gel for transdermal application. And yet, best information by far is use also an estrogen called estriol, which is the cancer protective estrogen. In fact, 80, 70, 60% of a formulation called Biest, estriol plus estradiol, is an optimal way to go in this regard.
Got it. And this is what compounding pharmacists are using, but the pharmaceutical companies haven't yet come around to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's other reasons. I mean, the pharmaceutical companies have now gotten into natural micronized bioidentical progesterone. They're not doing it transdermally, which my favorite always in the world of progesterone is transdermal. They're using it orally, which works in the area of progesterone just fine, but they're putting it up in capsules that have peanut oil in it and have some dyes in there that, to me, this is not necessary. And your compounder's putting up in very pure oils. even organic oils at times, especially if the prescriber specifies that.
Yeah.
In the world of progesterone, you sure do not want to use something called a progestin. That's what Provera was. Stay away from those entirely. You can get bioidentical micronized progesterone very easily from a compounding pharmacist.
Great.
And then in the world of estrogen and testosterone, transdermal to me is the way to go. I never prescribe estrogen or testosterone by mouth. There's a lot of reasons for that that we specify in my book. Yeah. And also when we train doctors, we really get into the science. Because what are we trying to do? We're trying to make it as safe as possible. We're trying to reduce the risk close to zero as we can actually get it.
And using skin rather than the mouth is a far better way to do that.
With estrogen and testosterone.
Yeah.
It avoids so much of the risks that were associated with estrogens testosterone. And then in these transdermals, because these hormones are fat soluble and they don't dissolve very well, 99% of what comes in a jar is actually the carrier gel or cream.
Yeah.
And you know, in order to get those up in the solution, they have to use solvents. And these solvents are problematic. They're not state of the art. This is the safest. So we're proponents and have developed these organic oils, which the hormones, you have to shake the bottle because they're not in actual solution because there's no solvents to dissolve them, but there's no big deal shaking the bottle.
Yeah.
And there you go. Right hormones. We elaborate on this again, but I want to give you an introduction to it.
Great. Thanks.
I'd like to talk about a core principle in menopause medicine, and that's right dosage.
And from that, I would infer that there is wrong dosage, and maybe there's wrong dosage out there.
Yes. Well, here's a patient who came to me and said to me that I never had breast tenderness in my whole life except 20 years ago when I had my hysterectomy. I was put on Premarin and I've had breast tenderness ever since.
Yeah.
And what I understood was that she was on an overdose of Premarin. And back in the days when we were at the initial phases of learning about treating women in menopause, it wasn't well known that increased breast tenderness and breast density was actually a risk factor for breast illness, including even breast cancer. But there's so much more known now, and that's the great news. And one of the remarkable things about it is it doesn't take much. If you rise to the dosage levels that will alleviate the symptoms of hot flashes, night sweats, sleep disturbance, and help the vagina heal, you will find that all the other protective effects to arteries, to brain, to bone, in most every case, will be totally handled. In fact, anyone who's doing vaginal exams can see the health of the vagina restore, and that's the dosage it takes.
So it does take some, of course.
Absolutely,
it just doesn't take that much.
It doesn't. Yeah. And this is backed up by the medical literature. In fact, these studies are available on the information page associated with our menopause videos. Now, I consider us to be a no breast tenderness practice. That means if a woman comes in with breast tenderness or develops breast tenderness over the course of treatment, we do what it takes. And there are several things that can be done, including the taking of something like iodine, for example, in the right dosages, and of course, backing down on the dosages. The final thing I'd like to say about this is in the world of all women who are being treated out there, there are women who are being treated with moderate doses and even high doses, doses sufficient to sustain the menstrual period.
Right.
And what they don't know, and I have tested these women as they came to me because they were in difficulty, is it takes between 3 and 8 times the amount of estrogen to sustain a menstrual period in a menopausal woman. It can be done, but that's not youthful levels.
Right.
And that to me is an unsafe and unreasonable situation. And again, the wonderful thing is it just doesn't take that much to get the results that women want that contribute to well-being and health for a long period of time.
Everything you've just said makes perfect sense. But I think if I was listening to this, I would be going, okay, I understand what you're saying, but really the rubber hits the road for me in finding the doctor who knows what this right dose is. And that can be challenging.
And it is, because my traditional training and the most common training hasn't taken on the big knowledge base that's now available for treating women in menopause.
Yeah.
But the good news is there's thousands of physicians and nurse practitioners who are very well trained in this.
Yeah.
And we have a video on how to find these people. And also on the information page on our website, we give you a couple ways that you can identify one of these physicians or nurse practitioners.
Great. Thanks. A very big thanks to all the people it takes to produce these. And thanks to you for listening. Be sure to head on over to iwonderdoctor.com for all the rest that we have to offer.